Good morning, good Erev Hashana. Wishing everyone here a Gemar Chasima, Siva V'Chasima Tova. Hoping everyone has a wonderful year. We are in the seventh parak of Chulin. We're continuing today. And a lot of anatomy speak today, as we are in the middle of the seventh parak of Kiddush Nasha. And we're continuing from where we left off yesterday. Okay, we did Sadi Beis yesterday. Again, today's daf is Sadi Dalid. Around the world, we're behind. We're on Sadi Gimel. Today we're going to finish up Sadi Gimel. We're going to get to the Mishnah on the very bottom of Sadi Gimel Amid Beis, and then over the course of Yontif, we'll make it an effort to catch up to the rest of the world. On Sadi Beis, what we covered yesterday, we finished up some Agadata, talked about the Shlosha Kosos, the three cups that were drunk by the Sar Hamashkim. We darshan that extensively, and then we go back to the discussion about the actual Gidon Asha. So first thing we talked about yesterday is the Gidon Asha. So which part of the Gidon Asha is actually Asar? Is it really the sciatic nerve? So there's one opinion in the Gemara. It's not just one opinion. It's quoted in the name of Rav. Okay, so it's a pretty significant opinion. Can't really be the Gidon Asha. The Gidon Asha doesn't, it's not edible. It's wood. It's really a hard piece of sinew. And it's a nerve. It's really not edible. So it must be that we're talking about the thinner pieces of the fiber that go into the muscle. It's a little softer. It's a little more easily edible. That's one opinion. The Gemara doesn't seem to accept this opinion. Ula disagrees. Abai disagrees. There seems to be a Brisa that disagrees as well. Right, the Gemara's quote is "Eitzu v'atar chayva alav." Yeah, it's wood. Correct. It doesn't. It's not really that edible. But still, the Torah's mechayv. The Torah says that if you eat the Gidon Asha, even the part that is inedible, still, nevertheless, the Torah's is gonna be mechayv you. Okay. Then we moved on to a discussion about chaylev. Okay, forbidden fats of the animal. So if you have the if you have the Sefer Tmunei Chol, it's going to be extraordinarily helpful today. I know in the art school he also has pictures as well. Okay, either way, it'll be helpful just in terms of navigating through the animal and the anatomy of the animal. We're on the top of Sadi Gimel Amid Aleph, and we continue from where we left off yesterday. The basic rule that takes us through a lot of this discussion, which chaylev is forbidden, so it has to be chaylev that is normally exposed. Okay? We talked yesterday, one of the last things we talked about yesterday is the chaylev inside of a kidney, right? There is a white, fatty material that's inside the kidney, right? The Gemara simply refers to it as luban. The Gemara has a discussion and disagreement amongst the Amoraim whether or not it's prohibited. So, and the conclusion of the Gemara is it's permissible, right? That white in the kidney is permissible. So why? So the Gemara says because it's pitoch. In other words, it's inside the organ. Any fat that's inside an organ is not considered chaylev, and therefore it's going to be permissible.
That's true with every organ.
The Gemara, the Gemara gives it as a rule. Again, don't turn to me for trabering discussions, and certainly not trabering psak. I've not opened up an animal in my life, but just based on what the rules the Gemara provides and the pictures over here, it seems to be that as a basic rule, anything that's internal to an organ is going to be permissible. The only thing that the Torah prohibits is the chaylev of the fats that are actually on the organ, that's exposed to the organ. Gufa, we are four lines from the top of the page. Amar Rav Abba, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, chaylev shehabasar chofeh osa mutter. If you have chaylev which is covered by the meat, so it's going to be mutter. So if you take a look, there's a, on, right, page 107 in the good book. Oh, wow. Some unbelievable pictures. Okay, so they're going to be fat sandwiched by muscles. Oh, that's a great picture. Okay. All right, so any fat that's covered by muscles, so it's going to be mutter, it's going to be permissible. This is what's stated in the name of Shmuel. So, Ini, the Gemara says, is that really true? Baham Rabbi Abba, Am Rabbi Yehuda, Am Shmuel, Hai Tarbet, Detuse, Masne, Asir. So the Gemara says, but there is fat that's underneath the loins. Okay? Again, if you have pictures, it'll be helpful to see and identify exactly what it is. So fat underneath the loins, the Gemara says, is usur. So now the fat underneath the loins seems to be in an area that is covered by muscle. So why should it be usur? So Amar Abai Behema Bechaya Prukim Mifrigi. So Abai says, look, when we give definitions of covered versus exposed, so the Gemara says you have to fine tune that definition just a little bit. The animal is, while it's alive, Prukim Mifrika, literally the words mean it becomes disassembled. It means during locomotion, while the animal is actually walking, so these areas therefore become exposed areas. Rashi says pretty much exactly that. Baruch and Mifrika, Rashi says, Kishi Oleches, when the animal is walking, Evareha Na'im, so the limbs themselves are moving, Vehamas Na'im, and as far as the loins are concerned, Pa'amim Shehin, Nimshachim Kalpe Ma'la, Vaksalim Nimshachim Kalpe Mata, Ve'ein HaChelev Nechasa Behem. So the chelev becomes exposed during these periods of walking, during locomotion, and so therefore they're not considered covered pieces of chelev, and so consequently they're going to be prohibited. I'm Rav Yochanan, Ana Lav Tabach Ana. Rav Yochanan says pretty much what I just said, although I'm not Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan says, Ana Lav Tabach Ana. Look, I'm not a butcher of a lot, Bar Tabach Ana, and I didn't grow up in a house of butchers. But, Unihirna Dahachi Havi Amri Be Midrash, but I'm learning in the Beis Medrash, and I hear this again and again in the Beis Medrash, and I didn't understand, but now I get it. And that is Behema Bechaya Peruke Mifrake. Right? In the Beis Medrash, they kept saying, oh no, the animal disassembles while it's walking. I didn't understand that, but now I do. Meaning, while it's walking, certain parts of the animal become exposed. Again, when we say exposed, by the way, you understand. Right. We don't see it from the outside. Obviously, it's covered by hide. But nevertheless, though, these areas become exposed. They're not constantly, consistently covered. And so consequently, they're going to become, those areas are therefore usar. Chelev, which is usar. Am Rabbi Abba, Am Rabbi Huda, Am Shmuel. Chelev Sha'al, Hemses, Ubesakosos Asurim. Okay. We are now talking about the lining of the stomachs. Remember, let's remind one another, there are four stomachs to the animal. The first one is the keres. The keres is huge. That is the rumen. That's the largest stomach of the animal. And then there are two intermediary stomachs before you get to the cava, before you get to the fourth and final stomach of the animal. The two middle stomachs are the Besakosos and the Hemses. Okay? Reticulum and what was the other one? Omasum. Thank you. Okay, should know this like the back of my hand, and I don't. Okay, so these are the two stomach, the two intermediary stomachs. So the Gemara says that the chelev, the fats that are on the hemsis and the base akosos, a certain venosh kares, that's chelev, meaning that's classic chelev. And not only is that classic chelev, but the Gemara says v'zeu chelev shal akarev. Meaning, and that's chelev ala kerev. Meaning, you look on the Torah, and the Torah says that certain fats need to be put up onto the mizbeach. So, chelev ala kerev, that's it. Meaning, that's the fat that's on these two stomachs. Amar Rabbi Abba, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Haytar B'de, Kli Busta, Aser V'Enosh Kares. Other fats which is identified to us by Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, and that is fat which is on the Kli Busta. Okay? Where is this? So this is towards the back of the animal, okay? It's the same as tarbat detuse masne. It's the same as the fat that's under the loins that we just spoke about a couple of moments ago, at least according to Rashi. So, and not only is that fat going to be prohibited, but it's enoshkares, meaning it's chelev, it's classic fat. V'zeu chelev shal haksalim, and that is the chelev that is on the ksalim, on the, what the Torah refers to as the sides of the animal, the flanken of the animal. Now, we move a little bit in terms of discussion. Chutin shebiyad. Chutin over here is a reference to the blood vessels. Now, before we discuss blood vessels, let's just make sure that one point becomes firmly established. Blood vessels in of themselves are not prohibited. Blood vessels in of themselves are considered bust, it's considered meat of the animal. The problem with the blood vessels is that they carry blood. Small problem. No, not a small problem. It's a large problem, right? Blood is usur min haTorah. Again, blood is one of those foods that is isuri kares, and so we're not allowed to consume blood. The blood vessels themselves, as long as we extract and expunge the blood from the blood vessels, so please enjoy. Enjoy the blood vessels. So the Gemara now is going to point out that there are certain areas around the animal where you got to be careful. They're blood vessels. So the Gemara says, chutin should be out of surim. So the blood vessels that run down the foreleg of an animal, they're going to be prohibited. So the Gemara immediately reacts. Amar Rav Safra, Moshe, Mi'amar Chmena Losecho Bisra. So Rav Safra says, Moshe over here is a nickname. right? And it's a good nickname. It's not pejorative. It's, you know, it's a sense of reverence, meaning you're like Moshe. But still, I don't understand what you're saying. The Torah never says don't eat meat. What are you saying? That you're not allowed to eat the blood vessel? Blood vessels are meat. It's the basar of the animal. So Amarava Moshe Miyama Rahman Echol Dama. So Rava's response is, yeah, but there's blood in the blood vessels. And the Torah does say, don't eat the blood. Right? So Chatche Umalke Vachfila Kader Nami Shapir. What I mean is like this. Know that it's blood vessels that run down the foreleg. And what you have to do is you have to cut it open, you have to salt it and Shapir Dami, and then you're allowed to eat it. Right? The blood vessels are so saturated with blood. Meaning by a regular piece of meat, you don't have to cut open the piece of meat. You just simply salt it, and then you allow the blood to extract, and then you cook it. By the blood vessels, you have to cut open the blood vessels, then salt it. That'll extract whatever blood is saturated actually in the walls of the blood vessel, and then you can go ahead and you can cook it. Good. Am Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel Reish Maya Ba'amta the Bai Gerera Vizeu Chel Shal Hadaken. Okay. Intestines. Now, there are the large intestine and the small intestine. But before we get to either one of those, there is the stomach. Now, the stomach ends in the keva. Keva is the fourth stomach of the animal. And then that which comes out is the beginning of the intestines. The first amma, says the Gemara, which is pretty good. That's an amma. That's a foot and a half, right, to 2 feet. Reish maya ba'amta by greira. So that first foot of intestine, right after the stomach, so that needs scraping, meaning that there's chalev. Now remember, the chalev that's on the stomach itself, that's chalev, that's classic chalev. And the chalev that's in the small intestines, that's actually, it's fat, but that's not chalev, that's permissible. And what the Gemara is basically trying to do for us is give us the point of demarcation. Where does it stop being chalev on the stomach, and where does it start being chalev on the dakin, on the small intestines? So the Gemara is basically giving us a rule. Shmuel says, Reish ma'aya, the beginning of those intestines, the amta, for the first amma, ba'i greira, and you need to scrape it off. So in other words, an amma past the stomach is still considered chalev, and so therefore, if you want to eat those intestines, right, the beginning of the intestines, if you will, from the stomach, so you need to scrape it off and you need to remove all that fat. That fat is considered chilev. Ve'ezeu chilev shal adakin. Ve'am Rav Yehuda chutin shebe'uketz asurin. Now the Gemara is going to refer to the chutin shebe'uketz. Okay. Nerves and vessels that come off the spinal cord. Okay. In the Tmunei Chol, it is found on page 100, right? Smack in the middle of the page. He has a nice schematic of it. We are describing what looks to be basically various types of nerves and blood vessels that are coming off the spinal cord. Now, this is the back end of the spinal cord. Now, this is not the sciatic nerve, but if you look at the picture carefully, you'll see that the sciatic nerve actually follows at the very end of the spinal cord, right where the tail begins. And it goes over the femur. That's not what we're describing over here. We're describing nerve endings that come off the end of the spinal cord. So the Gemara says that they are prohibited. Chamisha chute is bang, bekafla. You're going to find five cords, five various nerve endings over here. Chute is bang, bekafla, talsa, mi yamina, vatarsa, mi smola. Three on the right side of the animal, two on the left side of the animal. Talsa, mifsale, latre. Three of them divide into two, which means that there are six cords coming out on the right side. Trey, trey, miftzili, latlata. And the two divide into three on the left-hand side. Nafka mina, de'ish shalaf lehu ad dechamima, mishtalfe. Now the Gemara says like this. These cords are you not allowed to eat. Right after you shecht, while the animal is still good and warm, they basically come out nice and smooth right out of the animal. So in other words, you could just basically pull them right out of the animal. Ve'ilo, however, says the Gemara, if you don't pull these nerve endings right after you shech the animal, by chetute basraya, so now you got to dig into the meat because they don't pull out well, and so therefore you can yank them out, but there's still going to be leftovers of these nerves, and so therefore you have to pull them out.
Is it because it's the source of the
gira? No. So, right, we're going to make that clear in just a moment. Okay. So v'item. I'm sorry. Amar Rabbi v'item Rav Yehuda chamisha chute havatas mishum tarba v'trei mishum dama. Okay. Now, what's the problem? Meaning, why are these prohibited? So, as I pointed out already, it's not the ginanasha, right? The sciatic nerve is the sciatic nerve. Meaning, we're not redefining over here what the sciatic nerve is. These nerve endings that are not off the end of the tail, but rather coming off the vertebrae. So the issue is a different issue. So the Gemara explains like this. The Gemara quotes it in the name of Rav Yehuda, or some say Abaye. Three of these nerves that come off, the problem is tar, but the problem is fats, the forbidden fats of the animal, meaning that they're surrounded by fats, and the fats of these animals are, in fact, exposed, and so therefore it's an issue of chalef. V'trein mishum dama, and two of them, the issue is dam, the issue is that they're saturated with blood, and so therefore you want to remove them because they're basically blood vessels saturated with blood. The bottom tosus on the page, meaning the Gemara just said that for three of these nerve endings, the problem is that they're saturated with fat. So tosus over here says, I don't understand. Because as a rule, what do we say? That if the fats are in muscle, so then those are fats that are not asur min haTorah, not asur min haTorah. So why are these particular nerve endings, which are in fact surrounded by fats, but go into the muscle, so why are they a concern? Why are they a consideration? And not only that, but the Gemara also said just a moment ago that you have to dig. You have to dig into the muscle and you have to uncover these fats. Tosus says, Tosus is about to articulate, I don't understand why. Fats intermuscle, intramuscle fat is not considered fat, not considered chalef. So Tosus over here is bothered by this very question. Look at the very bottom. Chatita lohavi ela midrabanan. So Tosus says that this is a rabbinic consideration. This is not asr min haTorah. So first of all, because the Torah forbids chalev, and this isn't chalev, these are chutin, these are nerve endings, blood vessels, and it's not chalev. And additionally, Tosos articulates what we just pointed out, which is, it's in the muscle. The chalev that's asr has to be on the organ, not inside. So rabbinically, you have to go after it. So now Tosus wonders why rabbinically is it prohibited. So Tosus says it's not like the chelav which we described just a moment ago, which is underneath the flank of the animal. So again, Tosus argues that perhaps rabbinically the rabbis were concerned that because the animal is walking and during locomotion, some of these fats do in fact become exposed. So therefore, as a rabbinic concern, you have to remove these fats. Or Tosus suggests that, look, since these nerve endings, which are surrounded by fat, some of it's in the muscle, but a lot of it, Tosus says, most of it is outside the muscle. So you know what? It's like miut is holechacha harov. The small amounts of these nerve endings and these blood vessels that go into the muscle, since the majority of it is outside the muscle, so therefore, as exerid the rabbanan, we're going to have to remove the small amount that's even inside these muscles. Back to the Gemara. De techule udekafle udekolyasa mishum tarba. That which is in the spleen, right? And that which is in the kafle is the, what is that? Is that the size of the animal? The membrane that lines the entire abdominal cavity. Udikulyasa and the kidneys, mishum tarba. So those issues are issues of chelev. Diyada udalua, mishum dama. The veins that are running down the foreleg and the veins running down the jaw. Again, if you want to see a nice picture of this, you can look on page 101. So the problem is, Dom, the problem is blood. Lamai nafkamina, so the Gemara says, so now that you know this, hanidim mishum dami mechatechlu machlu shapidami. Good, so the Gemara says exactly what we said earlier. If the issue is a blood vessel, and the issue is the blood running in the blood vessel, not a problem. Split open the blood vessel, salt it, and then cook it. In other words, blood is not an issue because blood can be extracted. However, but the ones that are chalev-oriented issues, meaning these vessels that we described, the ones in the spleen and the one in the and the one running down the kidney and the run on the sides. So the issue over there is an issue of chalev, and there you just have to remove it. There's no takana. Okay. Amar Rav Kahana Vitem Rav Yehuda Chamisha Karmei Havim. Okay, now we're going to talk about membranes. Certain organs are surrounded by membranes, and these membranes are fatty materials. And so the Gemara is going to now identify five separate membranes running through the animal that are going to be issued. Tata Mishum Tarba Vichay Mishum Dama. Now, of these membranes, three of these membranes are chalev issues. Cannot eat it because they are chalev, either minator or rabbinically. Trei Mishum Dama. Now, two of these membranes are going to be issues because they're saturated with blood. And again, as we pointed out, that's not a big deal. That it could be removed. Now, detachlei udikaflei udikul yasa mishum tarba. The membrane that surrounds the spleen. Okay, take a look, page 100. You're going to see it. He has a beautiful picture of the full membrane surrounding the spleen. Okay, so that membrane needs to be peeled off. Decaflei, the membrane that's surrounding the abdominal cavity, and around the entire abdominal cavity, there is a membrane surrounding it that needs to be removed as well. And udikulyasa, and the membrane around the kidney, right? The white stuff inside the kidney that we discussed yesterday, that the Gemara says is fine, but the membrane, the fatty membrane that surrounds the kidney, that needs to be removed. You could take a nice look at, page 102. A beautiful picture of the membrane that's surrounding the kidney. Now, debeu ude mukra mishum dama. Okay? However, when it comes to the testicle and the brain, so those membranes, those are not issues of chalev, that's not fat, but rather the problem is that they are saturated with blood vessels, and so they have to be removed because they are saturated with blood. Rav Yehuda Bar Oshia have a kakalif le tichla le levi bere, de Rav Huna Bar Chia. The Gemara now is going to be focusing on the tchol, on the spleen. Okay, and the Gemara tells a story where Rav Yehuda Bar Oshia was peeling the membrane of the spleen. He was doing so for Levi, son of Rav Huna Bar Chia. Have a kagaim le mi'ilai. And what he would do is he wouldn't remove the entire membrane, but basically he would level it off. Meaning he would remove some of the membrane, but not all of it. So Amalei Chavas Beit Fei. So as a response, he said, what are you doing? Remove all the membrane. Keep going. Take the entire membrane off the spleen. Asavu Ashkecha Amalei Hache Amar Avucha Dimech Mishum Derav Uman Rav Yirmiya Bar Abba Lo Asa Torah El Hashala Dad Bavad. So he quotes in the name of Rav, and the Gemara identifies it's Rav Yirmiya Bar Abba. No, that's not true. You don't have to remove all the membrane off the spleen. It's just the area Sha'al Hadad, the fatty substance that's next to the, what's in English is called the hilum. If you take a look at the picture on page 100, better pronunciation, hilum. So the Gemara refers to it as a dad. So that part is Aser Min HaTorah. Huh? That is where, as I read, where the blood vessels of the spleen enter therein. Okay, the whole spleen is covered with the fatty membrane. See it beautifully over here. But what he's quoting in the name of Rav is that only this part is Aser Min HaTorah. That's the chel that's Aser Min HaTorah. So ein v'amar Rav Hamnuna Tana Krum Shal Atchol Aser ve'ein Chayavin Alav. So the Gemara quotes in the name of Rav Hamnuna, in the name of a Tana, that the membrane over the entire spleen is going to be prohibited. However, ein chayavin alav, but there's no Torah liability for eating that membrane. So hechidamile mishaladad amayin chayavin alav. So the Gemara says, if we're talking about the fat that's over the hilum, so the Gemara says that already we know is chaylev, and that we know is punishable, but with kares. Eladukule. So the Gemara says clearly, this brisa is describing the membrane of the entire spleen. Amalei Tanya, and as a concession, he says, look, I have a tradition in the name of Rav, quoted by Rav Yirmiya Bar Abba, that's not a problem. That you're allowed to eat the membrane of the spleen. It's just the It's just the fat that's surrounding the hilum. That's the only thing that you're not allowed to eat. That's what I have as a tradition. But if you have a brisa and your brisa is telling that you're not allowed to eat the entire membrane surrounding the spleen, eat tanya tanya, that's your brisa. I can't argue with that brisa. Maybe Rav disagrees with the brisa. I'm just conjecturing. But if you have a brisa, end of discussion. Gufa. Am Rav Hamanuna Tana Krum Shalatchol Aser Vein Chayavin Lav Krum Sha'al Gabe Kulya Aser Vein Chayavin Alav. What about the membrane around the kidney? Again, you can just turn the page. You'll see on page 102, beautiful picture of the membrane starting to get peeled off the kidney. So a brisa's quote in the brisa says, you're not chayav. It's not liability. Meaning it's a fatty membrane, but it's not chaylev. So v'hatanya chayav and alav. So the Gemara says, look, I have a brisa, and my brisa says you're chayav. And my brisa says you're chayav for both. Meaning for the membrane surrounding the spleen and for the membrane surrounding the kidney. All right, so how are you going to handle that? So, tola tola kasha ha-keneged adat, hashlo keneged adat. So look, for as far as the spleen is concerned, no contradiction between the two brises. We already know how to resolve that contradiction. In the spleen, there's the chalev that's right around the hilum. That is chalev min ha-Torah. The rest of the spleen needs to be removed, but only rabbinically. Okay. So as far as the contradiction between those, the two brises about the spleen, no contradiction. Kulya, 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 namilo kasha. So the Gemara says, as far as the kidney is concerned, so the kidney Rashi chelav mamash al haklayos yesh alav krum dak v'hu chelav gamur. So there is a tough membrane surrounding the kidney that has to be removed, and that's chelav gamur. But the actual membrane itself. The membrane itself is not chelav min haTorah. It does need to be removed. You're not allowed to eat it, but it's not an iser kares. Okay. Beichashilasa. Okay. I know in Israel it's served. In America, it's not served. In Argentina, it was offered to me. I turned it down, and that is testicles. Right? In Israel, they serve it, right?
Yeah.
Oh, sure. Okay, now, the Gemara over here is going to have the following discussion. Bei chashilasa. Rashi explains, Beitze zachar ha-me'urim begufo. Okay, these are testicles, and the problem with these ones are that they are somewhat severed from the body prior to the death of the animal. Okay? And here's the issue. The issue is that are they considered now detached from the body? Okay, we learned this back in the fourth parak of Chulin. Remember. Any organ, even internal to the body of the animal, right? The examples that we gave was the spleen, the liver. Any organ, if it's detached from the body, it's Eiver Menachai, right? We already pointed out there's a tremendous oddity in that if you have a fetus inside the animal, which will become detached, that fetus is considered mutter. Okay. Meanwhile, however, any organ inside the animal that's detached from the animal is not going to become permissible even if you shech the animal. Okay? That's our basic rule that we discussed earlier in the fourth parak. So here the Gemara is going to have a debate. What if you have these testicles that are somewhat detached? So the Gemara does not give us really a good gauge in terms of how detached they were. Gemara just simply says, chashilasa. Okay? Not 100% clear how to describe that. But anyway, so the Gemara says like this. Ravami v'ravasi chadasa v'chad shari. So the Gemara brings a machlokas amorayim, students of Rav. One says it's asr, one says it's mutter. Man da asr, so we don't know who says what, but the Gemara gives us explanations. Man da asr, the one who says that it's asr, mi delo kabaryan. Because look, it doesn't heal. Meaning that severing, it's not a full severing, but that severing is perpetual. Meaning they're fully detached, but they're still in the pouch.
You're actually quoting Rabbi
Yehuda
Rashi,
that's saying So midolo kabayin. So the condition never gets better. So if it never gets better, so in other words, we're going to view this as a detached part of the animal, detached organ of the animal. Consequently, hani evar menachayinu. So how are we going to view them? We're going to view them as evar menachay, and obviously shechit is not going to help you. So uman d'shari midolo kamisarchan hani chiyus isbehu. The one who says that these testicles are still considered attached to the animal and the shechting of the animal will help. How do you understand that? So the Gemara says, I'll tell you how you understand that. It's very simple. Because they don't decay. Meaning if they really were detached from the animal, you would see decay. So the Gemara argues both of these points. Yeah, you want to know why they don't decay? It's not because it's part of the animal. It's simply because they're in the pouch, they're being protected by the pouch, and so consequently there's no air. Right? Great, unbelievable observation of the Gemara. There's no air penetrating, that's why they don't decay, but it's still considered detached from the animal. And the other position who holds that it is considered part of the animal, so how come it doesn't get better, how come it doesn't improve? So the Gemara says, well, they're weak. So they're weak, because of the weakness now, so they're not going to regenerate. They're not going to the connection between the testicle and the animal is not going to regenerate. But it's still considered part of the animal. Okay, so the Gemara leaves this off as a debate. Amli Rav Yochanan le Rav Shemen bar Abba Hani Bechashilasa Sharyan. So Rav Yochanan says to Rav Shemen bar Abba, look, if you have this scenario. I mean, the Gemara is discussing this at length. It must be that it was very common. If you have the scenario where the testicles were somewhat detached, so I'm telling you that it's permissible. This is Rav Yochanan talking. I'm telling you it's permissible. But you have a tradition from your mother, meaning your family tradition is not to eat it. Al titosh taras imecha. Don't depart from the tradition of your mother. If you were raised in a family where the minhag was not to eat it, keep the minhag. Okay, now, again, let's go back. We are discussing the issue of eating testicles. So the testicles themselves are fine. Meaning, again, whether you decide to eat them or not, that's going to be your choice. But in terms of permissibility, fine. What we discussed was the krum, was the membrane surrounding it, and as we identified on the previous page, the problem with the membrane is that it's saturated with blood vessels. So the Gemara says, look, if you get a very, very young gedi, a young goat, so a kid, right? not to be taken out of context. So hani bei degadja al tasin yom sharia below klipa. So you can eat the testicle even with the membrane, because for those first 30 days, right, it doesn't. Doesn't even develop the membrane around. So you can eat the testicle plus the krum plus the membrane that's surrounding it. Mikan ve'elach. However, after 30 days, so now e azra'an asurin. So if it starts to produce zera, so then it's prohibited. Meaning the krum is prohibited. Meaning that because the krum has blood vessels now. Ve'ilo azra'an sharyan. However, if it doesn't start producing zera. So then it's permissible. Menaya de'inan. Gemara says, how are we going to know? So, e isbehu saruki sumke asirin. Huh? Could the membrane that surrounds the testicle.
The testicle
I assume the one that's around the testicle. Do you want a picture? No, I don't think it's a scrotum. You don't need to see it, right? Okay. Now my curiosity is getting the best of me.
Same membrane as the other organ.
40 back to 46. Thank you, Stuart. Okay. Oh. Okay. The Gemara says for your perusal. So the Gemara says, how are you going to know? So the Gemara says, "Minaya dani is beisukis sumke asirin." So good. It's very simple. Look for red lines. You see red lines, you know it's got blood vessels. And leisbehu sirukei sumkei. And if you don't see the red line, shayan. So even the krum itself, the membrane itself, is going to be permissible. Umtse is raw meat. The Gemara quotes umtse all the time. We find umtse as a popular dish. Umtse is red raw meat. Bay and testicles, umizrukei, and blood vessels. Specifically, which blood vessels? the ones that run up and down the neck. Now, Ravina and Ravacha typically have debates, and typically Ravina is a Mekel and Ravacha is a Machmir Ve'ilchasaka Ravina, and we generally follow on debates between Ravina and Ravacha, like Ravina, who's the Mekel. Look who's right, Ravina Lakula. Labar Mehani Tlas. However, on these three issues that we're describing right now, right, the Umtsa and the Beitza and the Mizrake, so as far as these are concerned, Rav Acha Lakula Ravina Lachumra, here are they switch roles. Rav Acha is a Mekel, Ravina is a Machmir, and as far as the halacha that we follow, Ve'ilchasaka Rav Acha Lakula, we follow like Rav Acha. Now, Umtsa de Asmik Chatcha Umalcha Afilo Kedera Namishapir. Now, as far as the Umtsa, as far as the red meat, meaning it's really, really red, saturated with blood, okay. So the Gemara says, cut it. Now, as far as how to cut and to what degree to cut, I'm not clear. Rashi only writes two words over here, Chatichot Harbe, cut into many pieces. Okay, not a very clear quantification of what we're supposed to do, but the Gemara says, cut it, salt it, and you're fine. In other words, and all the blood is going to be extracted, and whatever's left is not considered damen, that's fine. And you can not only that, but look, there in Amishap, you can even cook it, right? I don't know if I explained this well prior. Let me just make sure that I make this point very clear. In terms of blood extraction, there basically are two methods of blood extraction. One is salting, and the other is roasting it over a fire, an open fire, okay? Roasting over an open fire is a much, much better way and more efficient way to extract blood. Salting it is not as good. Now, standard procedure for all meats is that you could salt it and that would be fine. However, for those meats that are extraordinarily saturated in blood, sometimes the Gemara says salting is not going to be good enough. For example, we're all familiar, liver. Liver salting is not going to be good enough. Liver is really, really just so saturated with blood that salting is not going to be good. You have to roast it. Liver needs to be roasted. Good. So, in fact, the Gemara is going to tell us later on, if you want to taste blood, right? Blood is austere. You're not allowed to eat blood. But if you want to get the taste of blood, so the Gemara says, eat liver. Because liver is so saturated with blood, it really, even after roasting, which means it's permissible, but still you're going to get the taste. You're going to be able to have the taste of blood. So, okay, I think that I've just ruined everyone's appetite for chopped liver. Okay, wonderful. So the... of course. So I feel like they're not mishapir. Now, when it comes to salting, so salting, however, is an acceptable method for most of the parts of the animal, right? Except for the liver, as we described. The Gemara says, this umsa, this really, really red meat, this method of cutting and salting is acceptable, even if you want to cook it afterwards, meaning even if you don't want to roast it. So I'm sorry. I feel like there. Nami shabedami. Talia nami b'shpura da'iv dama. If you put it on a spit, so the blood is going to drain out, and of course that would be good as well. Agumrei. Now, what if you don't want it? What if you don't want to? You're right. Right. In other words, you're roasting it over. Roasting it on the spit. What if you roast it on coals? Meaning not over a direct open fire. But what if you're roasting it on top of coals? So pliga by Ravacha, Ravina Charama Mishav, Sheivalei v'Charama Mitzmat Samselei. So there is a debate amongst the Amorayim. What does coals do? Is coals act like a real fire in that it draws the blood out? Or no, actually putting it right on top of coals is going to actually sear the blood into the meat. Gemara leaves this as a debate.
So it's touching the coals.
Yeah. You're putting it right on top of coals. V'chein bay v'chein mizruke. And the same thing is true regarding eggs. not here. The same thing is true regarding testicles, and the same thing is true regarding the blood vessels as well. Okay. Reisha b'kivsha osve abesa shchita daiv dama. Okay, now what if you want to eat head? What better time to talk about the eating of the head than an Erev Rosh Hashanah? Right? I hope everyone's got their head ready to eat. Yeah? Small ones. Oh, you had a fish.
Right.
There are people sitting in this very room who are going to be eating the head of an animal. Okay.
Where do you get it?
You get it. Kosher. there you have it. Free advertisement. V'chein mizrake reisha bekivsha. So now, as far as the head, you want to roast the head. So the Gemara says it's very simple. Osve beis hashchita. Make sure that the neck, meaning the beis hashchita, the place where it's open, is directly over the fire. So dayev dama vishari, so that the blood just kind of drips right out and becomes miserable. Atzdadin mikba kape va'aser. However, if you put the head on the side, so there's no, you're not allowing for draining, so that's going to be prohibited. You can't do that. Meaning you want to roast the head, you have to make sure that there's draining. Osve anechira. So what if you put it over the nostrils? Meaning you put, I know this sounds so beautiful. You put the nostrils over the fire, meaning the nostrils are facing down. And so that allows for draining through the nostrils. So the Gemara says, the Gemara is going to have two versions. Datz be midi shari v'ilo aser. You got to put some sort of straw through the nostrils in order to allow the blood to drain through the nostrils. Meaning the nostrils are not naturally opened. And so therefore you have to prop them open in order to allow for the blood to drain. Ike da'amri anechira v'abes hashchita da'i v'atzadin idatz be'midi shari v'ilo aser. Now, according to the second version, no, it's fine. Meaning, if you allow the nostrils side down or the beis hashchita side down, that's fine. Meaning, that's going to allow the draining of the head. And so you could roast the head that way and that would be fine. And don't worry about the blood because the blood drained out. Atzadin, however, what if you want to roast it and the nostrils are not side down? And the beis hashchita is not side down. So the Gemara says still, what you could do is you could take a straw, put it right in, and allow the blood to draw to drain through that straw. Obviously, straw has to be side down. Idatz be midi shari v'ilo aser. Am Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel Shnei Gidin Hain. Ha'pnim yisamach le'etzen ha'aser v'chayin ha'chayavin alav. Chitzon samach le'basar aser v'ein chayavin alav. Back to the Gid Anasha. We finish up this morning discussing the Gid Anasha. The Gemara over here describes two Gid Anashas, the Chitzon and the Pnimi, the external and the internal. Now, we talked about such a distinction and delineation previously, the inner Gid Anasha and the outer Gid Anasha. I'm all the way back by the... Sorry. Okay. Where's a good picture of inner versus outer? Yeah, okay. All right. I don't have a good picture on me right now. Fine. Okay.
Actually, at the very...
Is it a real picture or just a... schematic also is fine. Yeah.
Better,
I like, yeah, I, you know, I like the schematics better.
Label.
Right. It's nice. Okay, good. So, good. If you take a look at it, right. It's just open up to the front cover. So, right, so the what is referred to as the Gid HaChitzon and the Gid HaPnimi. The Gid HaPnimi, okay, that's a Gid Anasha. That's a Gid HaPnimi. This is a Gid HaChitzon. Kind of counterintuitive. Okay, because this is a little more internal to the cavity of the body. All right. So the Gid HaChitzon, so let's do this inside in the Gemara. Okay, sorry for the delay. So Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel Shnei Gidim Hain, so there are two Gid Anashas, or two, not Gid Anashas. There are two sinews, two nerves. So the panimi samach le'etzem aser v'chayavin alav, the one that runs over the bone. That's the one, that's the Gid Anasha. That's the one that you're not allowed to eat. You have liability, Torah liability if you eat it. Chitzon samach le'basar, the one that's more internal to the animal. So aser v'ein chayavin alav. It's rabbinically prohibited, but there's not malchus if you eat it. Va'atanya, panimi samach le'basar amar avach amar avkahana ikludim maklid. So the Gemara quotes a brice, and the brice says the panimi samach le'basar, it's the one that's closer to the meat. So the Gemara says, "Amar Avach, Amar Avkan, including Maklid." The Gemara says, "No, it's like a key in the door, meaning it's the one that's like lock and key, the one that goes right over the bone." V'atanya chitzon asamach le'atzam. The Gemara has a brisa that says that the chitzon is the one next to the bone. Amar Rav Yehuda, heichad pari tavchei. The Gemara says, "No, that's only from the perspective of where the butcher opens it up. From where the butcher opens up, it seems close to the bone, but again, we're not changing anything." Panimi is the Gid Anasha, and the Chitzon is the one that's more internal to the animal. Okay, nothing changes. Itmar. Tavach shenimtza chelav acharav. One more topic of discussion. I want to get to the Mishnah. The tavach shenimtza chelav acharav. Rav Yehuda amar bechasaor, Rav Yochanan amar bechazayis. Meaning, look, a butcher, his responsibility is to remove the chelav. Okay? We've identified over the course of the Masechta, today's daf, back in the third perek, which parts of the chelav. Butcher is responsible to remove the chelav. What if the butcher sells meat and there's chelav on the meat? So the Gemara gives us two shiurim. One is sa'ora. If he leaves a barley, right, the kernel of barley of chelav on the meat of the animal, so that's no good. Rav Yochanan says, no, kezias. Kezias is much bigger. A volume of an olive. Amar, Rav Papa lo pligi kan la kosa kan la avro. Rav Papa says, actually, there's no debate. If he leaves a barley's volume of chelav on the meat, removal. Meaning, done. He loses his license, so to say. No, not so to say. He does. Literally, he loses his license. If, however, he leaves a kezias, so he's going to get malchus. Now, the malchus that he gets is not malchus min haTorah, meaning he didn't eat it. He just sold it to someone. Maybe you want to throw around the term lifnei iver, right? He helped and abetted somebody else violating an iser, but malchus over here meaning that you were so negligent in your responsibility of removing chelav. You left an entire kezias worth. Okay, in other words, that for that, you're going to have much greater consequences than just losing your license. And the Gemara says that when it comes to the sa'ora, it has to be in one place. Meaning, if they're just little particles of chelav, and collectively it makes a sa'ora, he doesn't lose his license for that. Losing of your license means there has to be a sa'ora in one place. When it comes to getting malchus, you can piece together pieces of chelav, and if it reaches a kezias, he's going to get malchus. And the Gemara says, and that's in fact the halacha. Okay. As far as removal of the Gid Anasheh, so the Mishnah says he's not believed, he's not credible. Right? And then the Gemara quotes in the name of Rav Yochanan, he is credible. In other words, if the butcher tells you, I remove the Gid Anasheh, so you can go ahead now and eat the meat. So I'm Rav Nachman, Achshur Darei. So Rav Nachman says, what's going on over here? I don't get it. The Mishnah says butchers are not credible. Rav Yochanan, which is a generation or two generations after the Mishnah, says, no, they're believed. Are you telling me that the generations have improved? As a general rule, we know, niskatnu hadoros. As the generations go, we are, it's the opposite of evolution. it's regression. Right? Our madrega, our level is lower and lower. So I can't possibly understand how the earlier generations were not going to believe the butchers, but now in the later generations, oh yeah, give the butchers a big yesh koach. If they tell you that they remove the Gid Anasheh, believe them. The Gemara says, Ichshuri dare? Are we supposed to believe that? Mikar dare, svar lekarav meir lo have mehemne. Ulasof savri karav Yehuda, ikadam, ulasof savri karav Yehuda. So the Gemara says like this. Now, when we learned the Mishnah, a number of you asked me, who do we follow, Rav Yehuda or Rav Meir? So I told you, please wait. And here the Gemara is going to basically tell us that's really the issue over here. Do we follow like Rav Yehuda or Rav Meir? Let's remind ourselves. What did Rav Meir say? Dig in. Not dig in and eat, but dig into the muscle. You have to chase and hunt down the Gid Anasheh, even the part of the Gid Anasheh that goes into the muscle. Okay? And that means, right, beautiful picture here on page 99, that you have to cut open the muscle and follow all the strands of the nerve into the muscle and dig that out. That's Shitas Rav Meir. And Rav Yehuda says, nah, you don't need to do that. Just simply cut the sciatic nerve that goes up to the muscle, and the rest of it is fine. So, when the halacha was found like Rav Meir, you got, in other words, so now you're talking about the painstaking process of going into the muscle and digging into the muscle, don't believe the tabachim. What changed was not the butcher. What changed was the halacha, and this I have no explanation for. I don't know how this happened, but the shita then moved to Rav Yehuda. So now once the halacha falls to Rav Yehuda, it's not a big deal. In other words, just cut the surface area of the sciatic nerve, and that would be fine. That's version number one. Now, the Gemara says, version number two is the following. V'chachamim omrim ne manim alav v'alachelev. That the Chachamim in the Mishnah say that if the butchers tell you that you can eat the back end of the animal, the thigh of the animal, I removed the sciatic nerve, so the Chachamim say he's credible. Now the Gemara quotes in the name of Rav Yochanan that butchers are not believed, contrary to what the Mishnah said. So Amar Rav Nachman bezmanazene emanim, and then we move down another generation to Rav Nachman, and Rav Nachman says they are believed. So follow the timeline. The Mishnah says they're believed. Rav Yochanan says they're not believed, and then a generation later, Rav Nachman says they are believed. So the Gemara says, Achshiri dare. So again, I don't understand. To go from the Mishnah to Rav Yochanan, that I get. Meaning the Mishnah says they're believed, and Rav Yochanan says, no, right? Okay, so it's a generation later, two generations later, that I get. But then moving from Rav Yochanan to Rav Nachman, the Gemara says, I don't understand. What happened? We're now starting to believe these butchers? So the Gemara explains, no, it goes like this. Mikar Savik Rav Yehuda. So the Gemara says, no. Initially, the position was like Rav Yehuda, which is just cut. Cut the nerve up to the muscle, and whatever nerves went into the muscle is fine. That Shitas Rav Yehuda. That was the halacha. Hadar Savruka Rav Meir. And then, according to this version, we move to the position of Rabbi Meir, which is go into the muscle. Right, search and hunt all the nerve endings that go into the muscle. So the Gemara says the butchers weren't ready for that change, meaning because when we fall like Rav Yehuda, all they needed was a superficial cut. Now we go like Rav Meir, and that means they're going to have to go into the muscle and search for the muscle. But the butchers were so used to Rav Yehuda, so you couldn't trust them. That takes us from the Mishnah to Rav Yochanan. Now, how do we go from Rav Yochanan to Rav Nachman? V'hashta de'inshuyel de Rav Yehuda mehemne. Now, a generation later, meaning we forgot, this is the Gemara's terminology, anshuye, we forgot Rabbi Meir, we forgot Rabbi Yehuda, we only know Rabbi Meir now, so everyone is so used to going into the muscle and searching and hunting after the Gidon Asher that goes into the muscle. So now the butchers are believed. So in other words, it's just basically butchers catching up, so to say, with the psak. Okay. Comes down from this version. By the way, you understand there's a big difference between the first version and the second version. Meaning because according to the first version, the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda. That you only need to cut the superficial nerve and not the nerve that goes into the muscle. According to the second version, Rabbi Meir. Like, huge difference in terms of which version we're going to follow. I venture to say we go like Rabbi Meir. Yeah, which makes it so difficult. You know, nowadays in America, in Israel, right? In America, they don't. In America, you know what the butchers do? They just lop off the end of the animal and sell it. Chelev, ala chelev. One more thing we're going to do, and then we're going to get up to the Mishnah. Okay, the chelav man de kashmei. The Gemara just wants to know. You know, chelav came up at the end of the Mishnah, kind of just like by surprise. Meaning, that's not the topic. The topic of the Mishnah is Gidon Asher, and all of a sudden chelav comes in, and you know what the Gemara is going to do. So hachi kamar neamanim alav v'alachelav. So chasur mechzura. There's like a missing part of the Mishnah. What the shita of the Tanakama is. They're not neman on the Gidon Asher and on the chelav. Oh, now, okay, good. Now you understand. Right? So the chachamim are neman alav ala chelav. And the chachamim argue on the Gidon Asher, and the chachamim argue on the chelav as well. Okay, adkan, tomorrow we start the new Mishnah, the new Sugya. First of all, before we conclude, I want to wish everyone again a ksiva chsima tova. Everyone have a very, very successful year. Healthy, everything, all the brachas, nachas, everything.